Hey guys, welcome to The Anxious Aquarius. My name is Sarah. Thank you so much for being here and for taking this time for yourself. I hope you all are having the weekend that you want to be having, whether that's a super productive one, a super relaxing one, which honestly could go hand in hand because relaxing is productive and productivity makes more time for relaxing. Anyways, I hope that you're having whatever it is that you want to be having. I personally sat on my couch all day yesterday, which was Saturday, watching movies while it rained, which felt amazing. Love days like that. So before we get started, I just wanted to throw out a little change, I guess, that's coming soon. With my Wednesday affirmation episodes, I will still be doing them, of course. They are my most replayed episodes, but I want to start alternating them with a new kind of episode that's still like a soft and relaxing one, but more of like a calm pep talk. So same concept as the affirmation episodes, just more consistent talking throughout it instead of like bullet point sentences, if that makes sense. So this week I will be doing one of those, and then next week it'll be back to affirmation episode, and then the next week I'll be doing one of the, I don't even know what I want to call it yet, calm pep talk. So let me know if you like it and if you want me to keep going with it, just going back and forth with them. All feedback is very appreciated and all feedback is good, whether it's a compliment or a critique. So on Wednesday night, I'll probably post a little question box on my Instagram story and ask for your thoughts. So just keep a lookout for that. Now let's get to today's episode. Today I wanted to talk about starting points and building a foundation. I feel like if you're anything like I have been in the past, you know exactly what you need to do. You know where you need to get, but then you start thinking of everything that you think it's going to take in order to get there, and it's so overwhelming that you're just like, you know what, never mind, no thanks, I don't think I want that anymore. You start thinking, if I really want that, I'm gonna have to give up this and that, and it starts to feel like more of a sacrifice than something that's gonna make you happy. So then you try to basically lie to yourself and you decide that it actually won't make you happy because of all the sacrifices that you'll have to make. So let me give a few examples here and see if you relate to any of these. Number one, you want to lose weight, gain muscle, change your diet, or just something along the lines health related. But then you cold turkey give up everything that you think is bad for you. You like basically feel a lifestyle shock. And then you decide, you know what, never mind. And you go back to everything that you were doing before, only to try again the exact same way you did before and be shocked again when the same outcome happens. Okay, number two, you have tried to quit smoking cigarettes or drinking, but then you have a night out with your friends and you tell yourself that, you know what, like I'm not having the full experience that my friends are because I'm not smoking or drinking like them, and you know, if I continue to quit, then I'm gonna grow apart from them and I'm gonna end up alone and they're gonna be having more fun than me. Example three is You want to take your mental health more serious, so you book your first therapy session, and you go and you talk about a few things that you want to work on there, and you start feeling uncomfortable or nervous, and you start making excuses as to why you aren't going back, like, oh, I don't want to pay for it, or I didn't click with the therapist, which, by the way, is totally normal sometimes, and that does happen and can be a legitimate excuse to stop seeing somebody, but not an excuse not to give it one more shot or to try to find another therapist or whatever excuse you come up with. So you stop going and your mental health is still shit and you're just like, well, this is how I am. And then you go through a cycle of, you know what, I can totally fix this 100% by myself. Therapy is for weak people. But guess what? You're still going through the cycles of your mental health really hard and aren't making any progress because you won't go through with the help. Does that sound very strong? So, if any of these issues sound like you, congratulations, you're a human. You have a heartbeat. You're normal like the rest of us, which is not normal. I guarantee you that you cannot find or name one person in the world who has not struggled at some point in their life with feeling overwhelmed and not knowing where to start. If you find them, they're lying. Don't trust them. So now that we know this, we can trace and map out what will work best for you, because not everyone is going to need the same thing. We cannot all have the same needs because we weren't all raised and domesticated in the same way and in the same environment. So what do we do now? Now that we know that we're human, we forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves for thinking that any prior attempt was a failure instead of a learning opportunity. And after that, we practice letting go of any shame surrounded by our goal. Like if your goal is to lose weight, you need to start by letting go of the shame surrounding how you gained it in the first place, or the shame around how long it's taking you to try and take it off. If your goal is to gain muscle, you need to let go of the shame of not having as much as you want, because how are you going to show up at the gym and do what you need to do if you are too ashamed of your current look to even go? If your goal is to quit drinking or smoking, you first need to get to the shame or the root cause of why you're doing it in the first place, and really explore that first. You may think that you have a drinking problem, but what you really have is an unresolved trauma problem that you're trying to avoid with the distraction of drinking. And some people really do just have drinking problems, but a lot of the time, it's really an unresolved trauma problem. And if your goal is to better your mental health, you need to start by letting go of the shame for needing that help. This has always been the most frustrating thing for me when I talk to people about mental health and therapy. The ones who think that as weak or stupid are always the ones with the most problems, or the ones that like want to be secretive about it and like whisper like, I have anxiety, are the ones with the most problems. Your mental health can be affected by your entire way of life, from what you eat, your environment, to your brain having a chemical imbalance, and or not working the way it should because of some kind of defect. And this is something I think about often, like when you lay it out on the table, the brain is an organ. I've wondered, you know, why do a lot of people believe that for some reason the brain, our physical brain, is immune to any kind of defect? And I really truly believe that it's because in their thought process, they see the brain as two different things. They see the brain in one light as being thought, your thoughts, the way you think, your opinions. And then they see the brain in a second light as being an organ that can be defective when things like tumors and cancer happen. And they don't see them as being the same organ. But like, for example, if we were to talk about our kidneys instead of the brain, we're talking about our kidney. Still an organ. Same thing. Without at least one of them, you would die. If we didn't have any kidneys, that wouldn't be okay. If we didn't have any brain, that would not be okay. If you were to tell the same person that has these negative mindsets around mental health about a defect in someone's kidney that caused problems in the filtering of, you know, your urine, would this same person say, you know what, it's a choice to find a way to pee? Peeing is easy. If you just change your mindset and not be so weak, you could pee. Probably not. That sounds really stupid. Like, really stupid. And in the same sense, if you found out that your kidney wasn't functioning properly, of course, you would be upset and worried. But would it even cross your mind to feel ashamed about it? Like, it was something that you could help or change on your own? Probably not. And would you avoid going to the doctor out of shame and embarrassment for this thing that's out of your control? Probably not. You would be, hopefully, rushing in to have it taken care of before it got too out of control. So why are we so hard on one organ and not the other? Why do we think that we can control our brains' defects, but not our kidneys' defects, our liver's defects, our lungs, appendix, and so on? Like, we don't feel ashamed when we have to get our appendix removed. And in the same sense that you would look at a friend who is avoiding going to the doctor, even though they're going through kidney failure, like, what the hell are you doing? Get up and go. The sooner you go, the sooner you can be taken care of and get help. It's the same way you should feel about seeking help for your mental health. The sooner you go, the sooner you can get it taken care of. And it's not gonna be a forever thing. You go consistently, you develop tools and skills, and you talk about a couple of bad things that's happened to you. I definitely cried. But you're not sitting there moping the whole time. Your therapist is gonna ask you questions that you would not ask yourself. And in turn, it's going to help you find your own answer. Your therapist is not gonna give you the answer. That's not what therapy is about. It's about being asked the questions that get you to the answers that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise. And then you're on your way out, feeling stronger than ever, and maybe, you know, check in every now and then, you know, if there's a road bump, or if things, you know, get tough again. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes we think that, like, you know, I have it. Like, I went to therapy, I did what I needed to do, I feel super strong, and now, from now on, it's going to be easy, and then we let go of all the things we learned. Because we think, again, it's gonna be easy now. Like, there is a finish line and I made it to the finish line and now I don't even have to try anymore. And that's not how it works. So it's no big deal if you need to go back. Getting your mindset and your mental health in check is absolutely the starting point to any goal or lifestyle change, because if it's not taken care of, you will be out here doing things with the wrong intentions and will continue the start over cycle a million more times. Think of setting up your mental health like you would lay concrete and frame your home first. Could you imagine if you skipped those parts and went straight to the pretty parts? It would be a complete disaster. You would have nothing there to support anything. It wouldn't even make any sense. Like, it wouldn't be safe. It wouldn't be livable. And it would probably collapse pretty quickly. And hopefully you are not inside when it does. Something that I often talk about when it comes to the shame of asking for help is to point out real facts that you might not know about successful people and how they got there. Like, my favorite example, look at Beyonce. You look at her and she just has it. You see the glam and the amazing vocals, and you just assume that this is her in her natural form with very minimal effort. That she was just born this way and doesn't even have to try. And that is not true. I love her, but that is not true. So jump on Google and I want you to search, does Beyonce have a vocal coach? The very first thing that pops up says, Beyonce was literally raised by her vocal teacher, David Lee Brewer, who lived with the Knowles family. Brewer trained Beyonce from when she was 8 years old, picking her up from school and giving her voice lessons every week until she was 20. And she has had other coaches after him. That's literally what it says. And yes, Beyonce does have a certain level of natural talent, and she has a vision for what she wants things to look like and sound like and be like. But had she not had a vocal coach literally living with her, had her parents not invested in help, if her circumstances had been different, if her parents said, you know what, we can do this on our own, we don't need any help, we have no idea if we would even have a Beyonce right now. Even she needs a whole team of people to be who she is. When you see her on stage, you are seeing hours of makeup artists, hairstylists, a wardrobe stylist, a personal assistant, a manager, a whole other PR team, and who knows what else. I mean, if I was Beyonce, I would definitely have like a personal masseuse or two. But Beyonce is not her highest self on her own. And she is not ashamed of that. She hires people, she pays people to do these things because she knows that she cannot be her highest self without them. Imagine how overwhelmed she would be if she was like, nah, you know what? I don't want to look weak. I got this on my own. It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't. My husband told me about this article on LeBron James saying that he invests $1.5 million a year between his health, trainers, nutritionists, and recovery techniques. You can Google this too. He invests in this because he knows that this will give him the highest version of himself, the best he can be. And he's not ashamed of that. He knows that sitting there saying like, nah, I don't need a trainer or a coach or any of that, that shit's weak. I have the raw talent that I need. That's enough. I can do it myself. That he knows that that isn't going to get him where he wants to be. And if it did, it would get him there a million times slower than just saying, hey, like, I love playing basketball, that's my thing, but I am not an expert in nutrition or training, and that's gonna help me out a lot, so I need some help on that. So what is wrong with us saying, hey, like, I'm just a person with goals and dreams to do this and this and to have better mental health, but I'm not an expert, so I'm gonna need some help on that to get me where I'm going. Never look at something for its face value and assume that it's effortless for them. And so if it's not effortless for you, then you must be doing something wrong, or that you're not meant to have it if it doesn't come easy. And this isn't me saying that if you want certain things that you need to invest $1.5 million in it, or it's not going to happen, because I don't have that. I don't have that. I am saying that investing in it any way that you can, with your time, with doing your research, with doing what you can with what you have, and start where you are. That is where you start. Lay your concrete and your framework first. If you'd rather have a makeup analogy, lay your skincare routine and your primer before the rest of your makeup. It might still look somewhat okay, but you know it's going to be looking its best if you care about your skincare and your primer. Get your mindset right, and you will be surprised at how much easier the rest is going to feel. So thank you so much for being here with me today again, and for taking this time for yourself. I hope that you guys have an amazing week, and I hope you really start thinking about what you want your baseline, your framework, your primer, whatever example you want to use, to look like, and how supportive and strong you want it to be, so that when you get to the good part, it's here to last. It's here to stay. It's yours to have because you did the work. Start where you are with what you have and what's easily accessible to you, and don't think that you need $1.5 million to make it happen, because you can make it happen without. So I will see you all on Wednesday. Have a great week. Until next time.